After all, she had driven Lady Allerdale for 2 years. And as Lady Allerdale's testimonial proved, she had given excellent service. She had been responsible for the care and maintenance of an old-fashioned Daimler car that would have tested the temper of a good many men with more actual driving experience if they had been entrusted with the charge of such an unwieldy vehicle. But still the woman behind the desk looked unconvinced. "And Lady Allerdale," she said, "has gone abroad? That is the only reason why you are now not working for her?" Frederica nodded eagerly. "That is the only reason. She has gone to live with her sister in the south of France, and it wasn't very convenient to take me with her. Besides, the car was getting a bit too old, and it used up petrol like a thirsty horse. Lady Allerdale decided to sell it." It would have been more strictly accurate if she had stated that her recent employer had parted with the Daimler without receiving very much for it. It was that kind of car. The woman in the agency nodded. "Of course, we are quite familiar with Lady Allerdale," she admitted. "We have supplied her with staff for a number of years. But Mr. Lestrade is rather a different matter. I mean, you would find him a very different type of employer from Lady Allerdale. He..." She hesitated for a few moments, groping for words. "He is a business gentleman with interests on the continent, and in addition he travels about quite a lot in this country. He has just bought Farthing Hall in Gloucestershire, and is in the process of settling down there at the moment. You would be required to drive him and look after any other car he owns. And you say he has just bought a new Daimler V8? "Yes." Once again the dubious expression. "But apart from anything else, I'm sure Lady Allerdale disliked travelling at speed. And Mr. Lestrade is entirely the opposite. I mean, I can't imagine him crawling along at 20 miles an hour, or even being particularly considerate with honesty. He's a slightly impetuous gentleman with a very dominating personality." "If he's impetuous," Frederica argued persuasively, "he might be willing to take a chance on me. And I don't always drive at 20 miles an hour," she added. "I've touched 120 in my sister Rosaline's boyfriend's car." "Yes, but..." Frederica leaned across the desk towards her. "Please," she urged. "It's so difficult for a girl like me, who can only drive and can't even do shorthand, to get a job I know I'm going to like. And Mr. Lestrade can always give me the sack if I don't suit him. And I'm not in the least likely to smash him up or anything like that." Her face was eager and vivid as a flower, framed in long bright hair. It was such wonderfully bright hair that it could have been chestnut in one light and deep gold in another. But it made her look very young, and her eyes were a clear green that affected anyone who gazed at her for long with the impression that they were swimming about in light green water. She used makeup sparingly, but it increased her air of being extremely feminine and rather a useless female type at that. She was slenderly built and her bones were small. Her hands on the wheel of a car would look like a couple of pale butterflies come to rest there. Try as hard as she would, the woman in the agency simply could not see her lying under a car with grease dripping on her or jacking up a wheel in order to change a tyre. But Lady Allerdale had given her a wonderful reference and was even willing to enter into correspondence with any prospective future employer on the subject of the chauffeurs she had been forced to dispense with. "I'll tell you what I'll do," the agency clerk said with unusual impulsiveness, because Frederica Wells occasionally affected otherwise rational and somewhat conservative people in that way. "I'll take a chance on you, because Mr. Lestrade has made it rather easy for me to do so. He doesn't..."